NASA offers 43 technology firms a spot on the new SUPE-5 contract. The contract's worth $20 billion over 5 years. You can read the details on SUPE-5 at federalnewsradio.com. Getting a spot on a contract like that starts with your business proposal. Eric Adolfi is co-founder and CEO of Government Proposal Solutions, my guest on Industry Chatter today, and here to talk about the proposal process for contracting companies. Eric, it's great to have you on the program. Your service is pretty new. Give me the thumbnail of what you're doing, please.
Okay, so just thank you for that introduction, Francis. Just to give a little context to what we're doing, there was about two articles that came out, New York Times, and I think it was the Harvard Business Review, that indicated about 34% of the U.S. workforce is comprised of freelancers, temporary workers, moonlighters, and consultants. So this segment is becoming a more important force within our economy. So this is not going away anytime soon. So within the federal government space or the government contracting space, what we've seen since sequestration, a number of companies have contracted, and what has happened is that the BD staff or the business development staff were usually the first to go. So what happens is to lower their overhead, they let go of their BD staff, and then now the proposals don't go away. The only way to do business with the federal government, you have to do proposals. So they're now in a position where they have to go back and get these highly, highly qualified personnel to help them write their proposals or grants, and they're doing it on a 1099 basis. So this is something we've seen, or this trend is something we've seen in other sectors of the economy that is just now starting to pick up in the federal space.
I, not too long ago, used a site that appears to be similar to yours. I poked around govprop.com, and we have a link to that at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. It seems to be the same concept as what I use to find somebody to help me do some contract work on some Microsoft Office application stuff I didn't understand and that kind of thing. Is that what you're getting at here, is that you've got a stable of people that are ready to go on short notice for somebody who doesn't necessarily want to go out and hire people and be committed to employees for the long term?
That's exactly right. So within that commercial context, the key difference is that those industries are not highly regulated. And as you know, the federal government is highly regulated and people are highly specialized. So when you go to hire someone to support you on a contract or any government-related matter, just because they have done similar work at USDA, that doesn't necessarily mean they're qualified to do that work for, say, the Defense Intel Agency. So what we do is we have a patent-pending matching engine that will connect them with a high degree of fidelity to the expert within the system that has a high likelihood of success. So what you're seeing is the part of this trend. I wish there was more sort of longitudinal studies that could show what we're already seeing, and that is the companies that are going to succeed in the future. What they're going to do is they're going to basically develop a core team backed by freelancers, and you're going to get the expertise wherever they reside. So if you have a retired Fed, for example, who has a lot of expertise in say Intel or cybersecurity, and they're located in Florida, they're located in Florida and that's where they retired, and you have a company in say Idaho or California, and you need to tap that expertise, well, how do you do it now? It's a classic insider's game. So you Google, you LinkedIn, you make phone calls, and you try to find somebody, and maybe you might connect with that person. And that's not even guaranteed. But with what we're doing, and it's very similar to those systems, it'll return a matching list of folks who have a high degree of expertise in that core area that you're looking for. But then it works sort of like Angie's List. So it will rank them based on their experience, their qualifications, and then based on user-defined performance. So it'll be, for example, 1 to 5 stars. So the 5 stars will wind up at the top, and the 1 stars will end up at the bottom. So it's a true marketplace. So these folks, so their users now can make better informed decisions about how much they want to pay and the specific skill set that they want to meet the specific requirement in the federal market space.
It's an interesting idea, and it's coming as we're seeing this shift not just in the federal workplace, but all over the workplace. People, I think, stereotypically believe it's been driven by the economy, and workers feel forced into this type of marketplace. But when you dig a layer or two down, it seems to me, Eric, and tell me if this is the case that you're seeing, a lot of folks really prefer this way of doing business because they can work by the project instead of by the paycheck. And can do a variety of different things, all kind of within this. They're staying on the same highway, but they might be able to move from lane to lane.
That's exactly right. And it's interesting you bring that up, because I believe that the white collar freelancers are going to be. That's the way that's going to be the new paradigm. That's the way people are going to be doing business in the future. And it's funny that you mention this, because just yesterday I was reading a blog, a group called Mindshare, where there was a discussion about whether they should relocate their office near a metro station here in the Washington, D.C. area. And there was a lot of back and forth about the merits of locating near a metro station in the, versus the cost and that kind of thing. And then one of the bloggers stated, guys, you have this all wrong. The way of the future is that in the past it was location, 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 location. But today you want to build a business that is location independent or location irrelevant, which means you want a small core team and you want to find your A-list experts anywhere they exist and be able to buy them on demand, buy their time on demand. For the experts, it's the perfect scenario for them, because they're not having to relocate to some other part of the country. They can work from home, and they could accept as much or as little work as they want. So it's a gathering storm that has proven successful in other industries that is now starting to take root in the federal space. But we're the first to really kind of commercialize it. And so we've come up with govprop.com, which basically takes us to a whole new, an informal process to a whole new level.
What are the issues, Eric, that the employees or potential employees, contractors to contractors, want to try to overcome when they're involved in these kind of relationships? What's in it for them other than just making these connections and finding the gigs?
That's a great question. So we actually surveyed some of these consultants before we built GovProp to see what their concerns were. And I think something like 80% of the folks we surveyed said they don't get paid. So what happens is they may complete a project, and then they'll submit an invoice, and then 60 days later, 90 days later, they're calling the company asking for a status of their invoice. Well, the company, they are kind of motivated to slow roll the payment, and but you have these consultants who, you know, they're kind of a one-person show, and they're waiting to get paid. So what we've done is we've basically created a system that is a win-win for everybody. So the funding for these projects are put in escrow, but the consultant doesn't get paid until they actually complete the work and it's accepted. And the moment that it's accepted, they're paid immediately. So there's no more invoices. And so that's the thing that's really getting them excited beyond connecting with clients that they would not ever have seen before. That is a big deal for them.
What kind of feedback are you getting from the contractors as you go out and try to make them aware of your service and let them know that you can help them access this workforce? What are they saying they wish your service did, or what do they want you to? How do they want you to develop it in the future, or that kind of thing?
Well, it was phenomenal. So one client company called Enlightened, based here in D.C. that does cybersecurity work, their BD person basically said this was a dream come true. I mean, that's her exact quote. So the concern is always going to be around government contracts and regulations, and they want to make sure that the quality of the work is going to be there. So they want us to be able to provide guarantees that the quality of work is going to be what they expect. They want to make sure that we're going to be in compliance with all the federal regulations. Like, for example, when they hire an expert through our system, there's a number of regulatory loopholes that we have to go through. For example, getting non-disclosure agreements in place, OCI statements in place. There's ITAR statements. This is export control statements that have to be in place. And they don't want to have to deal with those hassles, but they want to make sure they're in compliance with the government regulations. So we built all that into our system because the folks who are involved in building govprop.com are all, you know, 30, 35-year industry insiders who've been there, done that, walked in your shoes, former contracting officers. So we've basically built a system that is specifically for government contractors.